Thank you. Welcome back. Father, thank you for your word this morning. It's good to be back in the place that you've called me to. And I just pray that your people would be ministered to this morning, that this wouldn't be a hearing and not doing, a dog and pony show, or nothing. We just walk away and say that was good, but that it would minister fuel to our souls this morning. We are in need of Jesus. Mighty men around us falling. Pray for our missionaries that are checking in. Even right now, Lord, pray for pastors. He's, Lord, ministering to folks and just our people all around. And be here with us today. Empower your word. Let it go forth with free course. And even those hardest places of those hearts which we have reserved up where there's no trespassing. Lord, may your Holy Ghost just melt that today and change us would be something for God that died for us. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. If, speaking of the big game, if you were once in the world and before you got saved, especially if you grew up in my generation and you were enamored by the things of the world, and Jesus has a way of spoiling that. He said that the things which are highly esteemed among men are abomination to God. And I'm not going to lie to you. I like sports. I just, to me, there's just something about 400-pound men in the trenches. I don't pay much too attention to what's going on with the pretty boys in the back. I'm looking at those big men, those large men down in the trenches like warriors fighting But really, overpaid, overgrown, overglorified, overpriced men holding a pigskin with air in it running across a line. There's just something about that, that when you hear that another man died and they put him in a grave and 3 days later he rose again, it just sort of takes the edge off of that other thing that was so exciting. Hollywood. I mean, they have hour-long shows on what beautiful people did yesterday. You know, I don't know where I was. I heard, you know, Jolene got a haircut. I'm thinking, Jolene, don't she have a last name? Who's Jolene? Jolene. Jesus, the salvation, the Bible, the miracles, the past, the present, the future, just has a way of sort of ruining all the things that men find so highly esteemed. Sports is probably the biggest God maker. In 1992, the United States men's Olympic basketball team, nicknamed the Dream Team. Charlie, you be thinking, because I know what's going through your head right now. Lew Alcindor, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to ask you in a minute. This is unrehearsed. The first American Olympic team, okay, young people, here's the way it goes. Olympics, you know the Olympics, run, ski, jump, box. You couldn't be a professional athlete to be on the American team. You couldn't be in a paid position. It had to be someone that was called an amateur. You were doing it in college, something like that. But this, for some reason, I don't know what the rule is now, but for this they allowed that we're going to be able to assemble professional National Basketball Association basketball players to play the Russians, the Swedes. That nobody came within 40 points of them. Listen to this. The first American Olympic team to feature active NBA players, described by American journalists as the greatest sports team ever assembled. And called by the, I can't pronounce this right, Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, quote in bold letters, the greatest collection of basketball talent on the planet. The planet, did you hear that? Okay, go ahead. Who's on the team? Could you imagine Ivan von Hushky looking at he got a face off of Michael Jordan? Fantasy football. I think that's what that is. You get to pick this guy from this team and this guy from that team. The dream team. What if you were given the assignment to reach the world with knowing God and making God known, and you could pick your own dream team from the Bible? Your own dream team. You're going to put together team missions. That's a big word for missions today. We're going to put together a dream team from the Bible. Dream with me a little bit. You might disagree with my particular dream team, but I'm doing the preaching here, so I'll pick the team today, and you just pretend that you're going along. Luke chapter 3. Dream team, implying you could only dream about getting this group together at one time. Luke 3:38. That's a weird place to start off a sermon. Which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. I'm going to take number one. My pick for my dream team is going to be Adam. You say, Adam? Yeah, Adam, before he fell. Perfect. Walked with God in the cool of the day. Kept God's garden. Heard God's voice. He's the only man that really talked with God when there was no competition. Number one on the dream team, Luke 3:38 said, the Son of God. James chapter 2. James chapter 2. We're putting a team together. Verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, James 2:23, and the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed to him for righteousness. That means it was put on him. And he was called the friend of God. So number one in our team, I got the Son of God. Number two on my dream team, to reach the world, to know God, and to make God known, I'm going to pick the friend of God. You ever hear that about someone? Do you know so-and-so? Do you know Fred over there? Oh, yeah, he's Joe's friend. Someone say, do you know Abraham? You ever hear? Oh, yeah, he's God's friend. The father of faith. The greatest example used over and over in our New Testament of believing God is on my ministry dream team. It's shaping up nicely. I've got Adam, the son of God. I've got Abraham, the friend of God. Numbers chapter 12. Of course, this continues in part of our series of the man that we're preaching on. Numbers chapter 12, verse 3. If you have it, say amen. Okay. Now, the man Moses was very meek. Above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. Imagine what it took for him to have to write that. I got Adam, the son of God. I got Abraham, the friend of God. Now I'm going to take the meekest of God. I don't think there's a man in the Bible that talked to God face to face as long as and alone as Moses did. He was up there for 40 days one time and 40 days another. And the Bible said that no man can see God and live. And another place it says that Moses spoke to God face to face as a man speaketh with his brother. So he must have been talking to the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ who is God. It's the only way we can fulfill both those things. But there's not a man, I don't think, that ever spoke so plain with God. He bickered with God. He argued with God. He dickered with God. He probably had the biggest congregation of anyone ever. Probably went in circles for longer than anyone ever did in the Bible. More trials, knew the Bible, probably at least knew the first five books real well. I mean, you want to do a little flannel graph on the ark and the temple and all that? He'd probably help you out on your dream team. The spiritual sports writers are really going to be writing this team up, so we got to have someone in there that's the meekest of God. We got the Son of God, we got the friend of God. Now we got the meekest of God, Job chapter 1. They'll be talking about this for years, this dream team. Job, then Psalms. Job chapter 1, verse 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man, you say, why do we say Job and over here we say Job? I don't know. Take the English class. Pastor Barkowski's going to teach. He'll tell you. And that man was, say it with me, perfect. Well, that means, yeah, it says perfect. An upright man, one that feared God and eschewed evil. I'm going to take not only the Son of God and the friend of God and the meek of God, I'm going to take the perfect of God. He fears God. We can make him the conscience of the team. He eschews evil. He handles criticism from friends well. He's got lots of resources. You need resources to minister. He's loaded. If you're going to reach the world with knowing God and making him known, you've got a great team being assembled. Son of God, friend of God, meek of God, perfect of God, Acts chapter 13. How'd you like to be taking this team to Sicily? How'd you like to be taking this team to Romania? How'd you like to have a prayer meeting and this team walk in? How'd you like to be planting a church in Washington, D.C. and the first week this team comes in? Acts chapter 13, that's not all. Verse 22. And when he had removed him, he raised unto them, say it with me, David, to be their, raised up them, David, to be their king, to whom he also gave testimony and said, I have found David. Woo! I got to stop right there for a minute. I wonder what he says when he found me. I have found David. God's looking for you. The son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart. Not only the Son of God, the friend of God, the meek of God, the perfect of God, a man with the very heart of God, a man after God's own heart. The team needs someone to be tough but tender. The team needs someone really a lot like God that's got enough guts to kill a giant, slay a lion and a bear, but enough tenderness to write a prayer book that we find in the Psalms. In fact, we'll appoint him to lead the team, the ministry team, in prayer every day. The Son of God, the friend of God, the meek of God, the perfect of God, and the heart of God. Now, some of you may protest at my sixth pick, but this is my team we're picking. You get your own fantasy team. 1 Samuel chapter 25. Probably about half of you would protest at my next pick and the other half would say, yeah, just don't give it away. 1 Samuel 25, 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal. The name of his wife, Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance. Go to verse 33. She's talking with the king. I'm sorry. Yep, verse 33 of 1 Samuel 25. This is what David said to her. David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which has sent to me to meet me this day to meet me, and blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging." Look what he says: "My own myself with mine own hand." Not only the son, the friend, the meek, the perfect, the heart of God, but the understanding of God. I'm going to choose this woman on my team. She has an angle as an advisor. I need that on my team. Let me say this. If your wife has good understanding, you need her for your team. That thing that said, man, it's not good man be alone, I'll make an help meet for him, that's more than just to cook and clean and satisfy you. That's to give you an angle that you don't have. Life is more than facts. Well, she's emotional. It's all about feeling.
He's all about the facts.
Combination, dynamic combination, better combination, powerful combination. Some of you get mad. I'm not afraid to take a spiritual woman's angle. You know what? My wife didn't grow up in a Christian home. We got all these daughters, and now we're getting to this new stage in our lives, if you will, and I don't hesitate to ask a godly woman that's married, that came up in a Christian home, to advise them as long as I know what the advice is. They can relate a little bit better. I'm not afraid of that. It says the older women, plural, teach the younger women, plural, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husband. That's why you take advantage of the church. What would qualify you taking advice from a woman of good understanding if they could handle me disagreeing with them and going on? I got the son on my team. I got the friend on my team. I got the meekest on my team. I got the perfect on my team. I got a man after God's own heart on my team. And I got a woman of good understanding. Enough spiritual angle to advise a man of God. Lastly, Acts chapter 9. Putting it together, aren't we? Acts chapter 9, verse 15. He's speaking to the Apostle Paul. "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me." I mean, if you were given charge to choose a ministry team, probably be a good idea to choose the vessel that God chose to put on that team. Imagine what he could bring to the team, to the table. We put him in charge of evangelism and church planning. I got the Son of God, the friend of God, the meek of God, the perfect of God, heart after God, the understanding of God, and the chosen vessel of God. Of course, you've got to stop there if you're a preacher, because seven is God's number of completion. What a combination. How'd you like to have this team in your church? How'd you like to take this team with you to the mission field? Heralded by ministry writers as the best team ever assembled on the planet. What spirituality. What accomplishments for the Lord. What commonality. And you have been given charge by the Lord to assemble this team. And it's getting ready to have the first team meeting. And if you think that was all good,
the icing on the cake. All you have to do is host it. Guess who's going to run the meeting? For the plan and purpose and mission statement, Jesus Himself is going to be there. All you have to do is fix the victuals, receive the guests, host everybody, make a good atmosphere, and the Lord will do the rest.
So you send out the invitations to your dream team, and the day comes, and the best of everything you got is out. Jesus shows up early. You're nervous. He discussed, let's leave it all up to me. Doorbell rings. The first member of the dream team shows up. It's Adam. You answer. Yes? Hi, I'm Adam. I'm here for the meeting. Oh! Don't tell me I forgot to put Ann Guest, your wife, on the invitation. I didn't forget, did I? Oh, no. She's running behind. She texted me. She says she's out in the orchard and she was having a conversation with one of the vendors. I didn't realize there was a vendor out there, but anyway, she's having a conversation with a vendor and I'm really sorry about this, but she says she's working up a real good deal that's really going to change our lives. She'll be coming along in a little bit. So the Son of God comes in, takes His place. When the friend of God shows up. Hi, you must be old man Abraham. You did see and guessed. Is Sarah? Oh, yeah. She was in a very intense meeting with her handmaid when we were getting ready to go, and she said it just couldn't wait because God was showing her something. And she'll be along in a little bit. So now you've got the Son of God and the friend of God, and they take their places. And guy come in, got a couple of stone tablets. You figured out. Remember, you've never seen these people. You got to just assemble it from the Bible. He's alone too. What is going on here? Where's Zippo? She had to take our son to the doctor. Now, if you don't know the Bible, you're going to have to get this tape and look it up. Really? What happened? Well, this is sort of a scriptural accident. She really, every jot and tittle, and she's just cleaning up a little bit. She'll be along in a little bit. I got the Son of God. I got the friend of God. I got the meekest of God. And the perfect of God shows up. Where's your wife? She's not feeling real well. Sick? Well, sort of. She's just taking, you know, our losses. I'm sure you've heard about that. She's taking them real hard. It's affecting her walk, and I'm sorry. I hope this is okay, but she's really not going to make it today. And in comes the perfect of God. Not too many left. You must be Dave. Yeah, I'm Dave. Hey, congratulations. I read about you getting the ark back. Where's Michael? Your wife? Oh, by the way, appreciate that dancing and leaping before the Lord. In our church, most of the girls do it. Where's Michael? Well, with all the celebration and all that, she was
maybe it was a hot flash or something like that. It just sort of put her. She'll be along, though. She'll be along in a little bit. Well, now you see this beautiful countenanced woman that looks like she has a halo on her head, and you don't have to guess who she is. Back then, you could tell the difference. Amen. And she says, "Sorry, I'm late." And of course, here she is, all alone on the dream team. We're 6 for 6 now. Where's Nabal? Well, he won't let the sun go down without balancing those books on the sheep, you know. He's got an appointment with the finance man. He said something about the king down there always asking for something for the people of God. I don't know what it is, but he'll be along soon. Well, you're 6 for 6. There's only one left. You just sort of read in here and you say, must be Paul. But he's with a guy. This day and age, you got to be careful about that. Are you Paul? Yeah. I see and guessed I was expecting your wife. I don't have a wife. Never married? No. Well, who's this? Well, I was going to bring Demas, one of my friends, because I saw it said guest, I thought I could bring a friend and he could profit from this. We worked together good, but he forsook me, having loved this present world. And so I grabbed my friend Ezekiel. His wife died. And you're just... This is the dream team.
Maybe we should have some appetizers now while we wait for the other guests.
And the son of God's wife shows up. A little different than you expected. And her makeup's a little smeared. And
your top button's unbuttoned.
No, it's not. She's just sort of got this. And you're thinking, not what I expected from the number one spot in the dream team. Suddenly the friend of God's spouse walks in. Now that's permitted there because she's got a baby. But if you're 60, you're not a baby. Amen? That baby loves my preaching. And it's Sarah. And she bolts right in there with confidence and pulls Abraham aside. And you overhear her say, "You're not going to believe what God showed me concerning my handmaid." And there's Zipporah. She shows up. Man, if looks could kill. Kind of like some of you looking right now, amen? And you're thinking at first it was like the ruby red nail polish like the old ladies used to wear in my day. And you get a little closer and she's, you ever get a scab, you pick it or a, I won't say it. And, you know, you all of a sudden you're looking, is there blood? And the whole time she's sitting there, she's got, it looks like blood on her hands. She doesn't even sit next to Moses. The meekest on the dream team. The perfect of God, his wife, she never does show. Michael shows up. Oh, is Mr. Kingy Wingy wonderful here, I suppose? I suppose all the women are rejoicing over him today. Nabal shows up. You know that he must be the one that has the understanding of God's wife, and he just snubs David and crosses his arm. The Bible called him churlish. And then there's Paul and Ezekiel sitting there talking. You could cut the air with a knife. You're uneasy. The spouses are uneasy. It's awkward. But you assembled the dream team.
that had a commonality of faith and a commonality of meekness and a commonality of godliness and a commonality of love for God. But you forgot one commonality. This is the title. They had louses for spouses. Look at your neighbor and say, they had louses for spouses. Go ahead. This is true. Did you ever think about this commonality? Curse God and die! You're wondering, what will Jesus do with this? The Son of God, His helper? I'll make a helper for Him. Man, with a helper like that, who needs hinderers? She's out making a deal with the devil. The friend of God's helper is orchestrating a plan that's really going to help her husband. One of theirs burned some guy alive in a cage on the television the other day. The meek of God's helper just took their son and read the Bible. That's Moses. Bloody husband thou art to me. You know, I was meditating on this message for a week and I was going to make this statement. If you're not right with your spouse, you're not right with God. But you know what? Brother, I don't think I could say that. Because I know men in this room that I think are right, or women in this room that I think they're right, and their spouses are not right. You see? So how could I put that if I'm just a rascal and she's godly, how can I say, if you're not right with your husband? She is right with her husband. This is the word. If you're nasty, you're not right with God. If you're nasty with your... You're going to have conflict when you got sinners. But it's that nasty. It's that plucking down. It's that cynicism, etc. Let's go on. The perfect of God, His helper, said, curse God and die. The heart of God, His helper, David, she just despises Him. The one that understands God, the beautiful countenance, advice to a king, her head is a tightwad. He's a cheapskate. He's miserable. He's ornery. He's carnal. Welcome to the team, Abigail. And then the chosen vessel of God, His helper in our case here happens to be a guy whose helper died. He doesn't have a helper. Dream team? Are you feeling what I'm feeling in the room? Lord, why don't I just serve the dinner and we'll just get up and go our ways and move on. After all, you can't do anything with those that have louses for spouses. Now, you do understand louses is a word. Some people think lice is the plural of louse, but meeses is the plural for mice. That's what my Uncle Pee-wee always taught me. So for this message, louses are plural for... You understand, children? A lice is more than one louse. Everybody's awkward but Jesus. Everybody's... Zipporah's trying to rub the blood off her hands. Nabal, he's just in another world. Sarah's just wanting to get this thing over so she can get her plan in that God showed her. And on and on. And the Lord, He's digging in. He's not troubled. He's not trial. He's not sweating. He's like He was sleeping in the back of the boat in the middle of the storm when the dream team has louses for spouses. You serve the dinner. It's awkward.
He sits down,
and you're thinking, what a lousy fantasy team I picked.
And he looks at Adam, and he says, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the earth.
He looks at Abraham and says, I have a promise for you.
He doesn't say, oh, by the way,
but this is a fact that because of the louse, his spouse is going to cause him some hurdles to have to go over. It's going to cause him some delays. But the Lord didn't miss a beat with the dream team. I want you to get up from here. I want you to go out and I want you to be an example of faith. And I want you to look for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And you're going to be the example of faith to my people throughout the ages. What about Lousy? He's fixed. Do what I told you to do.
Moses. Let's go there. Just see, at least our eyes could touch where we are in the Bible this week. That's Exodus.
This is phenomenal. Exodus 4, 24. Don't ask me why, don't ask me what, don't ask me how. Ask the Bible scholars here, but it came to pass in verse 24, by the way, in the end, that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. I don't get past that. I don't know who him is. I think him is the child because of what happens here and what stops from happening here. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. And she said, not once, that's called a nag, a bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision. Well, we got a serious... Now, we're not talking about a position of office that there's certain requirements that the spouse has to dot their I's and cross their T's. We're just talking about a vision that God has for His people to serve Him. Do you realize, come on, this is their son. What this woman, how she just treated him, how nasty and vulgar and awful she was. What did God do?
Nothing.
And the Lord said to Aaron, go into the wilderness to meet Moses. Get up, Moses. Go to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. But I got a louse for a spouse.
No excuses.
Go.
But I can't. But you can what I say.
But you don't understand, Lord. But you don't understand. Job, be patient. Hang in there. I know your wife didn't even come to the meeting where I am. But trust me, I have a plan for your life. You may not win 10, but you're going to encourage hundreds of millions throughout the age that are suffering like you. And if you don't have the perfect nuclear family here this morning and you're suffering, we need you for an example. This world needs you for an example. It's not all perfect people out there. David, write a prayer book. We're going to need it for the team. In spite of Michael. You're going to open up every team meeting with prayer. As long as it's not Psalm 119. Abby, I understand. He's churlish. He's carnal. He's a cheapskate. Keep walking with me. Put some foodstuffs together for the troops when you can. And if the man of God needs some advice, gently give it.
Paul, no helper, I got an appointment with King Agrippa. Lord, did you really just give your commission to this dream team when their spouses are louses? You're dumbfounded. I mean, didn't he say it's better to dwell in the corner? Now, they're going to have fun now. If you have lice right now, don't admit it. But if you've ever had lice, and I won't embarrass the old people. If you're 25 and under and you've ever had lice, stand up. Come on, don't be afraid. Camillaries, every one of you, stand up. Wait a minute. Come on forward here. Come on. If you've had lice, come ahead. No one else had lice? Who's not here? Hannah had lice. She's not here. Come on, girls. Did Hannah have lice? Yeah. I'm going to come to you, and here's what I'm going to ask you. Tell me one thing about having lice. So you think about that. Can I use the orange one?
It's embarrassing.
You got a louse for a spouse? Where'd you get them?
Honduras.
Yeah. How far into the trip were you?
Halfway.
So you stopped and came home?
Yeah. No.
You kept serving?
Yes.
As much as it was embarrassing.
Annoying.
Louses are annoying. Where'd you get them? Did you get them here?
Yeah, from Hannah.
She's not even here to defend herself. Where'd she get them?
Honduras.
Where'd you get yours?
Choice.
You know where you get lice? Being in this world. In the trenches. That's part of it.
They itch.
They irritate. So you're not in choice anymore?
No, I still am.
Oh.
They're a pain.
Can you imagine?
They really gross me out. It's annoying. It took a lot of time up.
To what?
Take them out. You never stop thinking about them.
If only I didn't have this louse.
It really hurts when you have to brush them out with a really small comb.
You have to take a lot of treatment for it.
Okay, you can sit down. There were literally days . Here's some more truths about it. If you're the louse, if you have the lice, you have to usually ask, do I have any? So if you're new here and you ever see our kids like the apes, you know, going through each other here. I mean, we get to wreck those chimpanzees, man. They just love them, you know. Rick's got one right there. They're gone. If we're honest, there's a little louse in all of us. Every single one of those ones there had issues too. We are sinners. You are married to a louse. I shouldn't have directed you. You're married to a louse. But you got a little louse in you. You're not, and you know what you'll find? where one person, a louse, shows up.
Oh, look at the louse. Everybody magnify.
Did you hear about so-and-so has lice? Looked in your hair lately? You usually can't see them on yourself. You usually have to submit yourselves one to another. There were literally days when those girls were sitting on that back deck like a choo-choo train, one behind the other with that nitpicker. Did you wonder where that came? A nitpicker. That's like the chimpanzee. That's that little comb. It's real fine. Oh, there's one. I still don't understand. I can't tell the difference between them and dandruff. They're hard to see, especially on you. But there's a little louse in all of us. Can you see? I dare you to say to your spouse, can you see if I have a louse? Is there some louse in me? And then not defend yourself. Here's what I want to get at today. You're not going to be able to blame Jesus Christ for not fulfilling His plan in your life because of a louse. And we like to say, oh, they're just a louse. There's nothing good about them. No, you can't even hardly see those louse. But they're so irritating and itchy and gross and annoying that's all you focus on. Now, if you were to look at those girls, they didn't look any different than they did today. But they got louses. Let's stand. Some people have to shave their head. It's easy for the guys. Man, I wouldn't get near anybody. Lord, look at your spouse and say, spouses are sinners. Go ahead. Now look at your spouse and say, I'm a spouse. Go ahead. That makes you a what? Sinner. Not just them. Anna, let's sing Just As I Am. Let me say to you, because there was some on the dream team that didn't have a spouse. Did you hear what Dylan said when he was preaching? I was always unhappy if I only didn't have so much school. Now, some of you don't have a louse, and you think that that's why you can't be on the dream team. The dream team is what God has fulfilled in His plan, what He wants to do in your life. This one has a louse. You know I'm saying that tongue in cheek. This one has a louse. Well, I can't do this because I got a louse. This, if I only didn't have a louse, and this one's over here saying, well, if I only had a louse. Let's open up the altar. Come and say, Lord, take the louse out of me. Don't let me drag your plan for us down as a spouse. This encourages me. We don't have to be all perfect in our family relationships for God to do something. We just have to be obedient. Amen. What number is that, Anna? 562. See?